Scene 1. Kana and Halfdan discuss her skills. I am just curious, said Halfdan, how you became so observant.
I read a lot of books in my father's library, said Kana.
So I see, said Halfdan. He stood in silence for a moment, then gestured towards a man walking across the square. That man, what can you tell me about him?
Kana squinted at the man. He was tall and rangy, with skin like old leather, his hair pale. He walked with a rolling gait and had a knife at his belt.
He's a fisherman, said Kana.
How do you know?
He's been in the sun a lot, said Kana. You can tell from his skin and hair.
Halfdan nodded.
And he walks funny, like he spends a lot of time on a boat. The fishermen in Orisha always walk that way. And that's a scaling knife on his belt.
Good, said Halfdan, gesturing again. That man, the one leaving the inn, tell me about him.
Kana watched the man descend the inn stairs. He moved with a heavy stride, sweat dripping down his forehead, his gut straining against his belt and fine coat. He wore a short sword, but the weapon looked ornamental, not like the simple, deadly blades that Ryogan carried.
He's a merchant, said Kana.
I think he sells spices.
Yes, that's it, spices.
Also, his money pouch is in the inside pocket of his coat.
Halfdan lifted his gray eyebrows. Now how did you know all of that?
He's fat and sweaty, said Kana. So he doesn't labor for a living. His clothes are too nice, and there's black powder on the sleeves of his coat. Probably pepper, I think. And he keeps reaching into his coat and looking around, making sure his money pouch is still there.
Very good, said Halfdan. That fellow there?
A courier. He's wearing spurs, has mud on his boots, and he's got the sigil of a noble house on his coat.
House Basilicus?
Yes, said Halfdan. And that woman?
A shopkeeper's wife, said Kana. She squints and has a stoop, so she must do account books. She blinked again. Like my mother always said reading would do to me.
You have a gift for observation, said Halfdan,
and for deducing facts from those things you observe.
What good is that?
A smile flickered over Halfdan's face.
You'd be surprised, I think.
Scene 2. Kana speaks with her teacher, Theodosia.
Indeed you did, said Theodosia. She smiled and tapped one finger against her lips.
Halfdan also said you were most observant. Tell me what you see about me.
Kana shrugged, looked at Theodosia for a moment, and then at the room.
Well, said Theodosia.
You're a widow, said Kana, and you have at least 2 children, both sons. They probably went into the Legion or the Civic Militia.
The scar from the ring, said Theodosia, tapping her finger.
And the candles?
Yes, said Kana.
It was common for mothers and children in the Legion or the Militias to light votive candles to Morcoin, god of soldiers.
What else? Said Theodosia.
You're carrying at least 3 knives, said Kana. 2 in your boots, one in your belt, and I would wager that you have more that I haven't been able to find. You've had a bad cold, and only just got over it, and you dye your hair."
Halfdan burst out laughing.
"I most certainly do not," said Theodosia, touching her hair.
Cana shrugged.
"But you have all those bottles of dye on the table, and I can see the stains where your hair brushed the walls while still wet.
How did you know about the cold?"
"The spots on the mirror from sneezes," said Cana. "You haven't cleaned them off."
"So I see," said Theodosia, tapping her finger against her lips again. "Well, Halfdan said you were clever, and I see he was right. No doubt he had Riogan teach you to kill, There is more to being a ghost than killing and fighting. You must know how to disguise yourself, how to blend in, whether you are dancing at a noble ball or strolling the slums. You must know how to mask yourself so well that your best friend and dearest lover could not recognize you."
"How?" said Cana.
"Why, I shall teach you," said Theodosia, spreading her arms.
Scene 3. A combat scene. Cana leveled the bow. A little closer, a little closer.
"Come with me," said Maglarian,
and Cana felt another surge of power.
Julia took a step forward, face slack, eyes glassy. "Follow me, and you shall see wonders and horrors before you die."
He turned, and his good eye widened as he saw Cana. She squeezed the trigger, the crossbow heaved, and the heavy quarrel plunged into Maglarian's chest. Blood splashed across his white shirt, and he staggered back. She threw aside the bow and ran at him. A throwing knife falling into her hand, she flung the blade and then another, both knives burying themselves in Maglarian's mutilated chest, the blows knocking him back against the marble railing. Then she drew her last throwing knife and leapt upon him, burying the blade in his throat. He toppled, and she shoved. Maglarian overbalanced and tumbled over the railing. She heard his bone shatter as he struck the ballroom's hard marble floor. Julia flinched and shook her head, the glassy look vanishing from her eyes. Shocked screams rose from the ballroom. Cana ducked behind the railing, relieved that she had thought to mask herself and peered through the ornate balustrade. Maglarian lay motionless in a pool of his own blood. She could not believe it had been that easy. The man had terrorized the innocent for centuries, and she had killed him in the space of a few heartbeats. Then Maglarian started to move. He pushed himself to his feet, and Cana heard the crackling as his broken bones moved back into position. A horrified silence fell over the ballroom.